I'm sorry, Peggy.
No, I can't do it. Start the show. Who's the best show here?
That show!
Who's the best show here?
That show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
While you were making it for young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are like it bad. For the show link, go to like the DLNGS.org. And IC channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 802 of the Linux Link Tech Show. Last show for March of 2019. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Only 198 to go.
There we go. And yeah, that's true. 198 to go. And we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Flying Rich.
From the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command. Brr, it's cold. It's like 68 here.
We have Joe.
Hello again.
And we have his beautiful lips, Mr. Pegball.
Hey, hey.
I wanted to quickly hit something up from last week. And so, Joel, last week we were talking about building a laptop out of...
Yeah.
Of,
a Pi,
like a Pi or a single board computer. And you had linked, and I put it in the IRC, you had linked, I forget where you put it, but you had sent a link about a Raspberry Pi.
I think
Pi.
It's either Discord or I did it on
Maybe it was something. Discord, maybe that's why I wasn't finding it. Raspberry Pi and Arduino laptop, and I had seen that last week during the show, but I dismissed it because it was a 7-inch screen. And the case looked kind of hokey. But when I went back and actually looked at it and read the corresponding Instructables article that this person wrote, who's his name? It was published by Build It. I don't see the guy's name who did it. Anyway, I will have to say that I should not have dismissed it out of hand just by looking, having the 7-inch screen and looking at Hogan, because it filled in a bit of information that I didn't even think about before, and it started to make sense as to why you don't see more of these, I speculate. And so first off, I wasn't really thinking about the battery. I was looking more towards the case and the display. And so he had some interesting information in there about the battery that I had never thought about before. Now, in regards to both the display and the case, from what I understand looking at this, now he took a 7-inch case, or 7-inch display, and he took a keyboard, and he has all the parts listed out, but the case he actually built out of, heavy duty cardboard.
Really? So,
yeah.
He didn't 3D print it or anything?
Well, I don't know when this was. When did he made it? This article came out.
If I were to do it, I would definitely 3D do something with a 3D printer, especially if I end up getting the one I'm planning on ordering Friday.
Yeah, reinforced cardboard. So it looks like, that's what it looks like he did. He just built the case out of reinforced cardboard. And you're right. You probably could construct something you could 3D print something like this. But what really kind of brought it all home to me as to why this, I think we don't see a lot of these things, is number one, it's hard to find a display that's bigger than 7 inches. Maybe 9 inches. I think 10 is about the largest that I've seen. Now, if you ever, and the same thing with a keyboard. Now, the keyboard doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal, but the display, I think, is the bigger deal. And when, if you want to get something that's going to fit into a laptop case, I'm not sure any one of the keyboards that you see for sale, generally for the Raspberry Pi, that is not, you know, part of a laptop case is going to easily fit inside any other laptop case, which brings me to two points there. A lot of displays and a lot of keyboards that are go into a laptop are particularly have ribbon cables. They're not like HDMI or USB. It's a ribbon cable.
Yep.
So, you know, where...
Well, it's a flex circuit usually, not a ribbon cable.
All right, flex. What is that what it's called? Is it that... Yep. I thought it was a, probably it was called ribbon cable.
I call it a ribbon cable, but yeah, but I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, so
ribbon
it's like,
cable you can peel off wires. A flex circuit is orange.
Right. So it's a flex circuit. What it's, this is it's like slides into an input. What am I looking for? Not an adapter.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like, there's a special connector on the board.
So,
little lever.
That right there is a huge hurdle. And again, and this probably, if I'm not mistaken, Pat, this kind of harkens back to like, what was it, 10 years ago, no, almost 10 years ago, or maybe not that long ago, 8 years, when you were looking at trying to build your own laptop or just getting like a generic laptop that didn't have anything pre-installed or just like just trying to build it on your own. Do you remember that? Oh, I guess Pat's out there right
now.
They got him. But, and the difficulty that you would have in just finding like a bare bones kind of off the shelf laptop that wasn't really available. And I think it's even worse.
Right. Oh, it's just like a motherboard or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's even worse in this case right here. Like, I don't think really there's a huge enough market demand for somebody to put out, you know, that type, those type of components,
mm-hmm.
which is unfortunate because
yeah,
you've gone from
kinda,
like, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's kind of going to be where I go with the pine, with the pine book discussion I want to talk about today is that the pine book actually has it worse than the Pi because there's just not, you know, how many people are going to buy a pine book? Not very many.
Right, so I think, like, looking at, so, the pine.org, pine64.org and all that, whatever that company's called, is it pine.org, pine.org, is that the name of the company? Pine64.org? Or, the website's pine64, so pine.org.
Right.
And I think that, if you're not a company like them, and even with them being a company, I suspect that it was probably difficult in some regards to go from, you know, to build this and get a company that would be able to manufacture what they need in a large enough quantity at a reasonable price. Now, obviously they found somebody. I don't think they built these all themselves, or maybe they did. Like,
everything's manufactured in like Hong Kong or something like that. Anything I get from them is direct shipped from wherever, you know, somewhere in Asia.
All right. So yeah, but I looked all around. I could not find cases, like just a computer, like a laptop case. Like they kind of have the spare parts, which are no longer available on their website. Like just an empty case or even a case with a keyboard or something. But then again, you're back to that problem. Unless you're buying the case with the keyboard and the display, you got to worry about trying to find a display for a case and a keyboard for a case. And then you're back to the whole problem of trying to, you know, more likely they're going to be one of those, what is it called? A flex cable?
Yes, a flex circuit.
A flex circuit, which is going to be difficult to plug into or find something that is going to be able to snap into one of these single board computers to make it compatible.
Yeah, and I think, if I remember right, I wish I had the link off the top of my head right now, but I don't. But if I remember right, the guy that posted this, he cut apart a tablet case, which means I believe he just used Bluetooth for it. Not 100% sure, but that can work. The
Bluetooth
only thing you would have
what?
To do
the display?
Is, No, for the keyboard.
For the keyboard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you just use Bluetooth. The only thing is if you put one of it like in a completely sealed case, you'd have to figure out some way how to tie the Bluetooth keyboard into the power somewhere so that it doesn't die off.
He used the USB keyboard.
USB keyboard. Yeah, and then he also put a hub inside the box too.
Yeah, USB hub in there.
Oh boy.
Yeah, he's got a lot of crap crammed in there, Rich.
A for effort, definitely.
And two Arduinos,
I think. That's kind of what I would do, too. I saw somebody else, and actually, this is kind of, if I were to do it, this is kind of, would be kind of my idea. Don't put just one Pi in there, put two. And then that way, and then network the two. And then that way, one could literally be your laptop's built-in server, and the other one would be the one that you actually, use the interfaces on. So the only thing is how would you power both? I mean, no Anker battery that I know of can charge both Pis or can run both Pis. Usually you're going to be limited to one or the other. So you have two batteries in there, or you find one that can run two Pis off one battery.
Yeah, and you're not limited to a Pi. You could use pretty much any single board computer. You can get compatibility with the components that you're using.
Yeah, XU4, Rock Pi, whatever. Yeah.
So the article is a really good. It's a good read for getting, you know, you could do what he did or you could get started from there and move on. Cause I even looked at, I was like, well, what if I just take apart one of these laptops that I have over here and stick the Pi components in there? But I'm stuck with the fact that how am I going to connect the display and the keyboard up to it?
I know I've said it a couple of times now, but if you look up the Motorola Atrix, a lot of people were doing a lot of things with that in the Raspberry Pi a couple of years back.
Motorola Atrix?
Remember the Atrix was a phone, and they brought out a dock that you plugged the phone into, which gave you like a desktop-like environment, kind of like the Samsung Dex?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what?
With a couple of adapters, and voila.
I did see something like what you're talking about there is having the display and the keyboard in kind of like what you would expect in a laptop, but the single board computer was like attached to the back of the display.
So I just want to pee on your parade. And don't get me wrong. I'm all for hackery and all of that bit, but you know, we're going about this. If you build it, they will come. Well, what problem are you trying to solve with this? I like the idea. Don't get me wrong. I love the idea of independence hacking stuff up, but I look at all of this. I'm like, I'll spend $200 on, you know, a Chromebook and call it a day.
Oh, I'm I don't know if there's a market for this. I was just interested in doing it.
I'm not
it
saying
for
market. You know, maybe there's a very specific use that you need something for, and more power to you.
Well, I'm just looking at it for the fun of it.
Right.
I'm like, that'd be cool. You know, what could I do with a Raspberry Pi?
Oh yeah, like
cool building a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a 10-inch tablet screen and, you know, some compact keyboard and, mm-hmm. you know, a 3D printed case for it, good for you, man. That's cool.
There's an idea that I haven't done it yet, mostly because my ham rig stuff's all running off of Pi Zero right now. But Wish.com's been getting the LCD, there's a case out there. It's a Raspberry Pi case with the LCD built into the top of the case for $25.
Well, that's cool. Yo, send
which
me
is
link
not
then,
a bad
price.
Post
it in the IRC.
Yeah, it's all, I will do that as soon as I can. But the only downside is with that is that the screen on that is as big as the Pi itself, so it's a tiny screen, like 3.5 inches.
Even still, that's cool.
And it's actually a touchscreen, believe it or not. So you can take something like a stylus from a Nintendo DS or something and use that to run it.
Who's playing Jax? Joel, are you playing Jax while you're talking?
Luke has his little, he has this little, set of, well, it's a bowling set, which comes with these little pins and a little ball. Well,
get him out from underneath the desk.
I'm on the couch, dude. On the chair.
You on your phone?
No, I'm using a Pi. Or a Pinebook.
Ooh.
So what was your complaint about the Pinebook then today?
Well, at lunchtime,
doesn't fit in his pocket.
Well, that's actually one, but no. There are limited OSs that run on like a Z. I'm using 1604 Xenial 1604, which is basically it's just a port of a Ubuntu 1604, which is what now 2 years old. You know, it's the previous LTS. Armbian, I probably can get Armbian running on it. I didn't really have a lot of time to mucky fart with it. Cause what I'll have to do is I'll have to do something like
I'll definitely have to wipe it down with Lysol when you're done.
But, I'll have to, DD the image from like a thumb drive after I boot it up onto the EMMC to make it work. But then there's others like, the only image of Android that you can install to the EMMC by booting off the micro SD is Android 6.0. Something. I think it's 6.1. It's either 6.1 or 6.0. You can run 7.1 off of micro SD. And to be honest, I really haven't noticed much of a difference in speed. So maybe I'm just being picky. I don't know. But either way, there's only maybe, 15 different kinds of operating systems that you can run on it. The big problem is one of numbers. The numbers for people running Pine boards and Pine books are smaller than the numbers that are running the Raspberry Pi. No question. Raspberry Pi, you have literally almost, I would say, thousands of different kind of iterations of Linux, and you can even run Windows 10 on the Raspberry Pi, and not the IoT version. You can actually run full Windows 10.
I have not been able to do that, but I didn't watch the video where the guy claims he did it either.
Right. Well, it's supported by Microsoft, so it's not, I mean, there's no challenge to it. You just have to follow directions to do it. But,
you want to know how many hours I spent?
Zero.
Zero.
Five, 6 hours.
Yeah. So, and it's something, not something we're trying to buy. But anyway, but the thing is that there aren't sufficient numbers of devices out there for people to support things, other than the ones that you've seen in the Pinebook project. Now, granted, you know, it is early, you know, and that could change. That always could change. But the way I'm looking at this, the Pinebook is a device for us, not for someone like my wife, my son, or anybody who just wants to power on something and have it work.
You saying it's a unicorn's unicorn?
Yeah, kind of. You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's really nice. Don't get me wrong. I like it. I just don't think, I think that it's going, before ARM takes off in anything other than a smartphone or a tablet kind of an interface, which I know Linux will do it. I'd see it every day, you know, use it every day because I have other ARM-based devices in the house running Linux. You know, it's just, it's, when's, you know, the thing is it's just not going to get the attention that the Pi gets. And that's the problem. You know, is that, you know, the lower amount of hardware that's out there is going to result in making times more difficult. You know, I'm not saying it's impossible because it's not, but it's just, you know, it's not, you know, what are the odds that, that in 2 years that you can find anything modern that you can run on the Pinebook? Probably not very high. Because development would have moved on to the Pinebook Pro.
But The driver support would still be in the kernel, though.
One would hope. Yeah, well, that also goes the other thing. The Mali GPU, is that an open GPU? I don't think it is. Is it, Rich?
Yeah.
Because really, there is a lack of ARM-based platforms that run off of something that doesn't require a binary blob somewhere.
Right, but... yeah, you do have a point there. It's possible that it requires a binary blob, and that and stuff changes in the kernel. It might not support that binary blob. Although, I guess it depends.
Correct. So what we need is something in a Maddox said the same thing too in several of his speeches, at least according to what Doris told me. Because we've been talking about this off and on on Boxer, so.
So I think the problem that we have here is I see your concern, and you bring up good points. I think that a lot of this single board computer stuff is still largely in the realm of tinkers, hackers, and stuff like that. So I would almost behoove these companies when they're building this stuff to have support, open support, particularly by the Linux kernel. I mean, which one of these devices really doesn't have, when a new single board comes out, how much of a lag is there from it being supported in the kernel? Does anybody know?
Support gets better over time. I don't have like a chart of, hey, supports all devices on this, you know, but things do get better over time.
Well, when the new Raspberry Pi or a new board comes out or the latest Pine 64 board comes out, what do you run on it? Like, what is available to run on that new board when it comes out?
So, usually, like with Pine, if you go to their repos, they have a couple of OSs that work with it. They do give early releases of the products. Like I run Diet Pi on a lot of stuff, and I know he gets early releases of the boards, so he can tune the OS for them.
Well, I guess that's my question right there. It's a Linux. It's usually a Linux-based operating system that comes out,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And is it something that they have taken and added their own code to it to get it to work, in that you could take that same code to any distribution if you wanted to take the time to put it in there, build it and put it in there?
I mean, I guess you could. I haven't, but yeah, I guess you could.
And Rich, both in the Mumble Chat and the IRC, I plopped the, you can get a little bit cheaper on Wish, but it's the TFT touchscreen Kumin 3.5-inch 320x480 resolution TFT LCD display with protective case, 3 heat sinks, and a touch pin for the Raspberry Pi 3 Model B, Pi 2 Model B, Pi Model B. So it will work with the Raspberry Pi 3. So it's basically a whole kit to put the Pi into the little case.
So that connects with the screen. With the flex circuit, right?
I think so.
Huh? I'm ready to click buy on that.
Wait, does that come with the display and everything?
Yep.
Except everything you need.
Everything but the Pi for $30.
Well, that's not too bad. Yeah, so I guess, back to that thing we were just saying, if they have to do some hackery stuff to get a version of Linux running on it, more than likely, if I'm not mistaken, based on the website for the X4U, tracking that information down is a nightmare.
Again, I don't know what you're looking to do with these things. For the most part, my ARM device is, I'm running headless. I'm SSHing into them.
I'm the same way too right now.
there's almost nothing that now. All right, so if we localize our conversation to Pine Books, Pine Book Pro, yeah, there's only going to be a handful of operating systems that are going to work right out of the box.
And I'm not expecting like a Windows, you know, or yeah, you know, I don't even care if it's Windows version, but like for example, on this, I got what 2-3 year old version of Linux. It runs okay, but you're not gonna watch Netflix on it. It does run YouTube pretty well, which surprisingly enough. But you know, there's certain things that you can't. Now, granted, this is hard. You know, older hardware. It will eventually run. You know, the PineBook Pro will probably run the video things like YouTube better, but it's still not going to run Netflix until you get libwidevines supported on an ARM platform. And that's part of the issue, you know. So then your best bet on something like this is an Android-based OS. Now, Bliss OS, which is an Android port, it's actually kind of, they kind of did what the, I'm trying to think, what, kind of what Remix did. You know, where, so it's a windowed, version of Android. I go to download the image, it's not there. I get an error, I try to download it, and with the, Pine tool, it's not there. Or, well, I actually get an error on the Pine tool.
Yeah, which you need to tell people. So there's an extra tool that's branded for Pine.
Correct.
Where you can say, hey, download these operating systems for this Pine device.
And put it on the SD card.
Device.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it burns it for that particular device. So you pick your device, you pick your operating system. It's really a nice, you know, layer over etcher.
And it works on Windows or Linux. Cool.
What's it called?
If you go to any of the Pine repositories, you'll see it, that they have their own version of Etcher.
When did they get that? I don't remember it being
been
there.
Out for a while.
Okay.
Hey, you can use it for the Pine board or both versions. Let's be clear, there are actually two versions of the PineBook out there. There's this one. There's also one that has a full 1080p display. And I don't know how you would be able to buy any of either of those until you got to put your name on the reserve list and then try and buy it. If they're making any more PineBooks, which I don't know if they're making any more PineBooks at this time. I think at this time they're probably all focusing on the PineBook Pro, which makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know where they are with products. I haven't gotten any updates.
But this kind of harkens back to when, you know, don't get me wrong, I use x86 every day. But I've always had a soft spot for non-x86 hardware, be it IBM Power or PowerPC-based Macs. I loved them just because they were different.
What about your Alpha system? You didn't have an Alpha?
I never had an Alpha. I did have a MIPS-based handheld at one point. That was the Casio EM500. Woohoo! We're sharing a pocket PC. I always wanted the, there was several, one of the things that Microsoft did, and you can actually still come across devices that run this, back in, I think it was 2000, they brought out a laptop or two that ran embedded, Windows 2000 embedded. And, those were actually pretty neat. The only thing you really couldn't install anything, you know, standard on them. You couldn't, like, you were stuck running whatever browser it came with, but it pretty much was a full version of Windows. And things like that, and then other things, they kind of moved on from that into certain things. Like last week at bowling, we ran into a little problem where practice ended, and then we went in to go start our game, and I got on first the ball the first frame on the first bowler on our team, and it didn't score me. I'm like, what's going on? So I went in and went and bowled
wait,
again.
Wait, wait, Joel, are you saying this me, the so first time down... you didn't score?
Shut up. So the guy at the control desk goes, he says, well, let me reboot the lane. And I'm sitting here watching the scoring machines reboot, and it's running Windows XP embedded. So the embedded stuff is still around. Microsoft has been doing embedded for a while. Nobody really knew about it. So that's essentially what this stuff is now. Embedded Linux is essentially what it is. Yeah, somebody's cooking dinner.
That's me. Embedded is one of those phrases I hate. Because what does it mean? It just means you don't get a boot screen.
Yeah, right.
You don't get a start button.
Yeah, well, that essentially that's what these bowling lanes did. I mean, they reboot, and I've actually seen these. They actually are x86 based, believe it or not. But they're little tiny things. They're probably about as big as like a, and in a case, it's very similar to like a car amplifier, you know. That runs those big thumping speakers. It's got fins on it just like it too, and it runs off of a compact flash card. Boy, somebody's got a noisy ass microwave.
That's freaking annoying, man. Rich.
Oh, I'm sorry, it got stuck on. I'm sorry about
yourself.
That.
So anyway, that's kind of my little rant about the Pinebook. I love it if it would run, you know, if it was easier to run more the up to date versions of Linux. You know, to be fair, it will run 18.04. Armbian is 18.04 version of Ubuntu, so it does do that. And I probably could get it to run on the EMMC. I just have to get a image on a thumb drive so that I can DD it over onto the EMMC. Like I said, I don't really think it matters because speed wise I think is about the same, but whether you're booting off the SD card or off the EMMC, EMMC is definitely going to be a little bit faster, but it's not massively faster that you would notice the difference.
I just want to see you do better for $100.
Oh, I'm not seeing well, any, yeah.
Isn't the EMMC more long-term stable?
That's a good question.
As in it can take more reads and writes?
Yeah.
That's a very good question.
The SD cards, I've had a lot of micro SD card failure.
Oh, me too. Yeah, I mean. Oh, yep. And that's the other thing. There's one thing you don't want to buy on Wish, and that's SD cards.
there's only a little... You don't want to buy them online.
Buy them online via Amazon if you're going to buy them online.
Yeah, but even then you can still find scammed SD cards on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's just then you got to jump through the hoops to get your money back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, if you buy from somebody that's not Prime, generally. But if your product is Prime eligible, and you're selling scams under Prime, something is Prime eligible, it won't be Prime eligible for very long.
Yeah, it's still one of the reasons I enjoy having a Micro Center so close by. Now,
oh, yeah.
I will grant, last time I bought USB sticks there, I just needed them for a short time, so I went and bought their cheapest ones, which is their store brand, and it was the 16 gigabytes, and they were like $4 each. And mm-hmm. I bought five of them. One of them worked.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That is awful. I've never
had that. Did you take the other ones back?
I haven't been back yet. I still have them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 10 years ago, right?
No, this was actually like 2 weeks ago, but yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. I mean, I won't say that I haven't, because I buy that flash memory and flash drives from, the Micro Center. If you've
never
been.
Did you say flash or flesh?
Flash, idiot. But I bought them before. If you've never been to Micro Center, but basically, each register at Micro Center has this, looks like one of those, parts sorting kind of deals. And it's full of memory cards, flash drives, all that. They're Micro Center branded, and they're very cheap. There's no card. It doesn't come on a card. I believe it may not even come, with the little, plastic case that some of the flash cards come in. At least for the flash cards. The micro ones might. Basically that you just tell them how many you want. They pull them out, charge you for them, and throw them in your bag.
Yeah, and I've bought some of their other stuff, including, 5 of the 32 gigabyte 3.0 USB sticks, and those have worked fine. And I have one of their 128 gig, micro SD cards, and it works great. So.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was about the 16s.
No, the worst part is I got several things to where I would just be happy with an 8 gig card, but I can't just get 8 gig cards anymore.
Right. Give me a whole bunch of like 4 gig cards. I mean, those are perfect for the Raspberry Pi.
Well, or for running my 3D printer takes a micro SD card. So that, I don't need a freaking huge card for that.
And anymore, if I'm setting up a Raspberry Pi, I'm usually not doing much off of the micro SD. I'm setting it up at very boot, and I'm running it off the USB.
Hook up throw Octoprint on a Pi Zero and hook that up to your 3D printer.
Oh, I know.
You'll never need a micro SD again.
Yes and no. It depends on the printer. Sometimes the Octoprint doesn't work too well with that. It just depends. But depends on the printer mostly. But I prefer to run it off of the card itself instead of off of Octoprint just because it's a little bit more reliable. just like I don't want to run it you can hook up the USB port to a Windows or Linux laptop and send the print over that. But if your laptop goes to sleep or something like that, then your print usually dies. So that's why I usually kind of prefer to use the micro SD card. But speaking of 3D printers, I'm probably going to be ordering another one Friday. I'm looking at the CR10 Mini.
You're going to send me your old one?
No, I want to use the old one.
The CR10 Mini is bigger than most regular printers, right?
Yeah, it's like 300 by 300 millimeter. I want to say I think the Z is 400. But even if it's only 300, that's perfectly fine.
Wait, what is the regular CR10 size?
The 10 or the 10S, let me look.
And while Joe was looking at that, the whole Hughes family got smartwatches. In me being the Android, I got the Gear S3 Frontier. And, not like I'm like, hey, run out and buy one. But you can get them for $199. I did do like an unboxing video. And you can go to flyingrich.com and see that. I am finding it useful.
This was a Samsung watch that you got, you said?
Yes.
Now, is it still the same situation as we saw with the older Gear watches where you could only use the Samsung specific apps on your phone to communicate properly with the watch?
Apparently, like if you wanted to send a message. Right. It's supposed to work with some Android apps. I'm getting alerts for everything. I do have a Note 8, so I don't know if that makes it easier. So I really can't talk outside, you know, the Samsung ecosystem too well. But I am liking the sleep tracking. The battery life is phenomenal. It's definitely what I do is, I wear it all day and I charge it when I get up in the morning. You know, after I'm done sleeping, I throw it on the dock. I, you know, shower, whatever I'm going to do and grab it and head out the door. So it's tracking my fitness. It's giving me reminders like, hey, you've been sitting for an hour, you know, get up and move. Those kinds of things. I appreciate that. Tracks your steps.
Does it tell you that you're turning into a fat ass?
Kind of like that, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
It pops up a picture of Joel every once in a while.
Kiss my ass. The CR10 Mini is 300 by 300 by 220. The 10S is 300 by 300 by 400. Still, 300 by 300 by 220 is freaking massive compared to what I have right now.
Yeah, that's what the one I have, the Maker Select V2, is 220 by 220.
But yes, yeah. That's like one up from what you have.
I think mine's like 240 by 240 by like 300.
Right. Right. Now, the only downside is I believe the 10 Mini only has one Z-axis lead screw. The 10S has two, so it has lead screws on both sides. Yes.
What do you mean, once? No, I wouldn't buy that.
It still has rails though, so I mean, everyone I've, the reviews I've read, mostly watched on YouTube, the reviews have been very good for the CR10 Mini. And for $350, you can't really beat it. And free shipping.
Alright, I'm taking what I said back. Get yourself an ANET, $150, spend the 8 hours to sling it.
CR10 Mini, you put four screws in it and plug some cables in and you're done.
Yeah.
What's the price on it?
$350.
Not bad.
So you're paying $200 and you're getting one less vertical axis lead screw.
Yes, I believe that's the case. The 10S is only $500, though.
Well, look, two screws are better than one. That's all I got to say.
Oh, no dispute about that. But right now, my current printer doesn't have two screws either. It's cantilever. So. And not to mention the fact the 10 Mini, I believe, you can get on Prime. So, of course, you could also get the Creality Ender 3, which is smaller. It's got 220 by 220 with a resume printing.
Resume printing's a big deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I think the 10 Mini also has that, too. So, it's not as big as, like, a Ray 3D, which is freaking ridiculous.
And then what?
I don't know.
That's what my daughter used to say. It's like, all right, we're going to go to dinner. And then what? And then a movie. And then what? Speaking of daughters, Dan, how's Paige?
Living the dream.
Yeah?
Well, she's doing good.
Good.
She is doing good.
Race 3D N2 dual extruder 3D printer, 12 inches by 12 inches by 12 inches.
Well, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at Matter Hacker's website right now.
Is it a Bowden?
Did you post it somewhere?
I will. That's also a dual extruder.
Dual Bowden?
But it's also 30. I don't know. It's $3,500. It's out of my price range.
$500? Ow, man. You can build that.
$3,500.
$3,500. I can easily build that for under $300. Now, not including my time, of course. With parts, yeah.
Yeah.
There's no more than $300.
Now, from what I've watched on the Race 3D, I did watch Joel Telling did some reviews of that. If I'm spending that much money, I'd much rather have the Ultimaker, to be honest. Ultimaker 3.
Well, heck, if you're in the $3,000 range for a print, I'd rather get an SLA setup.
Or that, yeah. Like, what's the Pio Poly one? The Mayo Eye?
Well, what's his face? Proust is doing one.
Oh, is
I don't
he?
Know if it's out yet,
cool.
Yeah.
There's the two I know of are the Pioply, or it's Pioply, and the name of the printer is Maoi, or Mayoi, I think. That's how you say it. That's an SLA printer. The one thing that is kind of a negative with that one is you basically have to have the jugs of the resin and you have to refill the tanks every single time. And you might even have to refill it while it's printing too, I think. I'm not 100% sure. If I were looking at an SLA, I would look at the Form 2. Just because it's a lot more convenient, lot more expensive.
And Form 2 just had the advertising like mad. I couldn't tell you how many times I play a YouTube video to Form 2, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like the X10 back in the Yahoo days.
Right. The only thing with the Form 2 is basically you have to have for each color, you have to have a separate build platform, which kind of sucks. And then, but the resin just kind of plugs into the back of it with a cartridge, so it's no pouring, goo into the tub.
So basically it's like the color printer of the 2020s.
Yeah.
So they're just
going like
to F you on the resin.
And you're also talking about probably about $5,000 total for a full Form 2 setup, because you have to have the printer, tubs for processing, basically you have to, I think what you rinse it with, what, rubbing alcohol first, then water, I think. Can't remember. But you have to basically do post-processing afterwards, like you have to even for, FDM. But, it's a little bit worse too, cause after you do the rinse and the wash, you have to put it under a UV lamp for curing. So it cures it. But the detail is out of this freaking world. No printer does supports better than the Form 2 or any SLA printer. And not to mention the fact they kind of print backwards too. They actually print upside down. But every print I've ever seen off of a Form 2 just looks utterly gorgeous.
I haven't had my 3D printer running in probably a year, and I did play with it in the last couple months, but, you know, nothing highly successful. I still gotta, you know, tweak a bunch of settings too. But what I wanna do is some work doing, aluminum casting with lost PLA. I think that would be interesting.
Oh, aluminum casting with lost PLA? That would work. The other nice thing about the Creality CR10 Mini is that it will support TPU right out of the box without any changes for the extruder. I'm trying to think of a CR10
and
XS
for the
is,
people that aren't familiar, TPU is flexible filament.
The flexible filament so that you can make cases for your phone. Which I do want to do.
Which I'm looking. All right, so Jay Rulo is in the is he in the listening booth? Hey, there's 50. See, Jay Rulo knows all this crap.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. True, you don't really need. I mean. It's nice to have the wash tubs that Form gives you, because you don't have to use specifically. You know, you can just buy some Rubbermaid tubs, and that would be sufficient.
You can't 3D print the wash tubs they want you to use?
You probably could.
They don't just give you a file.
You'd have to use an FDM. No, they give you tubs. I don't know. You know, if you're buying a Form 2, that I would go.
You know what?
All
I gotta tell you is anything other than a PRUSA sucks, because the PRUSA prints itself. If the Form 2 can't itself, it's got nothing.
Some manufacturers switched from using 3D printed parts to injection molded, and I can't remember who it was.
There's all sorts of, depending on the type of manufacturing you do, you got to design your part different. And, you know, some
correct.
Of the things, like the basic things that we talk about 3D printing, or the things that you're going to learn when you start 3D printing, is maybe you want to lay it on its side. Maybe you want to lay it upside down. Maybe you want to print it in two pieces and glue it together later. There's a whole bunch of different reasons for how you design it and how you print it, based on how it's going to be produced. You know, whether it's CNC machining versus 3D printing versus injection molding, versus, you know, aluminum casting and green sand versus plaster. There's all sorts of different ways you're going to design your product, and how it's going to be done. And also different materials. You're going to print differently, or you're going to design it differently. Some things you print will warp or curve or bend or will shrink. So you have to take all of these things into account when you're designing it. That if you're in Cura, which apparently there's a new version of Cura out, if you're designing something in Cura and you're, you know, using a caliper and you're taking measurements off the object that, you know, for the precise size, and you don't account for the product either, you know, swelling, shrinking, warping, then you're going to have some issues if it's a precision product. If it's just a dust collector that's going to go on the shelf, that's one thing. But if it's going to be a component that snaps together with other components, you got to be careful about that. So those are lot of things you're going to have to take into consideration. You know, whether what kind of printer it is, what kind of material you're using, or, you know, just what kind of manufacturing process.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing I went around with when I designed my Keurig one, is like, you know, it took me two or three prints. And here's something too. One thing I kind of did a little bit with the Keurig holder that I made, basically the carrier that I can stuff a bunch of K-cups in and stick in my suitcase when I travel.
This thing called a Ziploc bag works great.
Ziploc bags get crushed in the suitcase too, though. When you put it in this holder that's made out of PLA, it won't get crushed. So, meh. But when I designed it, don't print the whole thing at first. Print
definitely
just enough so that you can make sure that you get the clearances.
Yeah, or print rings or portions of it. That's when I was 3D printing the holster for the gun. What I would do is I would design the entire holster, but then I would 3D print just slices of it so I could make sure my clearances were correct and everything was happening like I would expect. And so this way,
that way you don't waste a whole bunch of PLA.
Right. Well, forget about, you know, the PLA, for as much as you're going to print, almost cost nothing. It's realistically the time that you're going to spend doing it. So if you're going to be doing, something where it's precision parts, and again, I'll use the holster example, you might want to take a slice out of that finished product and say, hey, I'm going to print where the front sight is. Hey, I'm going to print where the trigger is. I'm going to print where, you know, it's going to have the retention piece that's going to clamp onto the trigger guard. And you're going to print those pieces and then see how they fit. Or better yet, maybe you want to print something like that. You want to print a base with some holes in it for metal rods and put those holes in those pieces so you can slide them in. So in three-dimensional space, you know where they're going to fit.
Yep. Or like if you're doing a custom like pie case or something like that, just print enough like maybe to test the fitting of the pins that go into the holes, you know, and don't print the rest of it, you know. So, you know, slice it down so that you print just the minimal, test your clearances, then print the whole thing. You'll save a lot of time and a lot of plastic. That's one thing that Lisa, the design, some of the things I've done, didn't really matter. Like, for example, the brackets on my desk broke, there's like a trim strip across the top, and the brackets, also happen to hold in the doors that, you know, there's like a storage area up there, and there's doors that cover whatever's in there, so nobody can see it. And, those doors, in the bracket, you know, I kind of missed that, so I went and I took the broken parts, I kind of measured it with my calipers, and I figured everything out, designed them, and the first couple times I printed it, I had some things were off, so I had to adjust it here and there, but it really didn't take me but two or three test prints, and then I had it. So I had four brackets printed, mounted everything on it, and it works, and I saved myself from having to buy a desk. Well, for the moment, I'm going to buy a new desk eventually, because that desk is really crusty ass old and needs replacing.
I wonder what it thinks of you.
Just because it doesn't think anything. It's an inanimate object, just like a gun is.
If walls can be prejudiced or racist, then desks can think.
Yeah. Anywho, that's using your 3D printer to do things around the house that aren't dust collectors.
So, the
like
K-cup.
My Iron Man I just printed today.
The K-cup thing, is that more like a cupcake, tin? Is that basically the design?
Basically, I took a cylinder. The opening in the cylinder is wide enough so that the thickest part of the K-cup will go down into it. So then I actually designed it. And the nice thing is I kind of designed it in segments. So mostly because I had to do that because my printer's not big enough. Although even the CR10 Mini wouldn't be big enough to print this one. But the nice thing, though, is by doing it in segments, I can make one as long as I want and hold even more K-cups.
It's tough when you have printer envy.
Yeah, I know. But, so technically, I'm probably going to eventually upload that one to Thingiverse. I just haven't yet. Mostly because I've been toying with the idea. Do we want to do one with larger segments for those who have printers that can go that high? But then I thought, well, if I were to print this on the CR10 again, I would print it, I would basically just duplicate the segments I need to on the same build platform and then just print the whole frickin' thing. You know, so I wouldn't necessarily need to make the segments bigger. I could, but,
And how do the segments connect together? Do you have some way it locks?
Basically what I did was, the inner cylinder, there's an inner cylinder and then the outer cylinder. The inner cylinder has the hole for the K-cup. The outer cylinder kind of surrounds the inner cylinder. So I'm basically, these two cylinders with holes in them were matched up. So they're basically, there's just a little ledge at the top. And I basically replicated the bottom. I basically put the female end, you know, on the bottom of the segment. So then they just slot on top of each other, and I just super glue them together. And super glue bonds PLA very well. Now, you wouldn't want to make something like a, something that holds some liquid that way, because I'm pretty sure that, those sections where they glue is probably not watertight, but I don't care if they're watertight in this case. Plus, the nice thing is with me building it, and I basically had a bottom and segments. So if you only want one that holds four, print the bottom and one segment and the lid, and you've got one that'll hold four. If you want one that'll hold nine, you print. I think the way I have mine is you print three segments and the bottom and the lid. So. And then that'll hold about 9 K-cups. And it leaves a little space at the top where you can actually throw in some, like, sweetener packets.
I'm looking at Thingiverse, and I searched for Space 1999. You can print a sidearm.
You mean the eagle?
No, the sidearm, the communicator, there's an eagle, yep.
Oh, yeah. Those were cool.
It's like U-shaped.
Yep. Jay Rula says, dust some baking soda on it and drip the thin super glue on that. It will dry pretty clear and seal watertight. At least until you flex it. Yeah, well, man, if you flex PLA, it's gonna freaking crack. It's not flexible.
In the balsa world, I would save all of my sawdust. And if I had to, you know, span a joint, you just put the dust, pack it in where you want, and then just drop some CA on it. The thin stuff will kick, it'll cure so fast it'll almost burn.
Is there an eagle on Thingiverse? That would be a cool model to print.
I'm looking if it has the attack eagle. I don't see it.
See, the only thing I ever cared about on Space 1999 was the ships and the weapons and stuff. I never really got into the show.
Oh my god! I've said it before here. The show is unwatchable. It's on YouTube. You can find it.
Oh, it's so bad! It's so bad. Now, right around the same time. They also had it didn't have a very long life, but do you remember the show Salvage One?
Yes. With Matlock.
Andy Griffith was in that.
Come on,
yep.
How
they basically built a rocket
from a cement mixer
moon in the junkyard.
From a cement mixer, and they acoustically coupled to the NASA computer for guidance that they hacked into.
Was it the guy from Silver Spoons in that too?
The guy who played
the dad in Silver Spoons?
Yeah.
It only had maybe a season to a season and a half. It didn't last very
long. I remember
long.
One episode they're getting an iceberg from Antarctica with one of the rocket engines.
And didn't they bring back
what
something?
What was the show called?
Salvage One.
Salvage One.
And it had a vulture on a flag. That was like their icon.
I'll have to check it out.
It's one of those shows that's like so bad it's good, you know?
There's a lot of shows like that. Go back and watch Buck Rogers.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no shit.
Beady, beady, beady.
The only thing that saves that show is seeing Erin Gray when she was hot in those spandex.
You could read her lips.
And she was smoking back then.
Yes, she was.
Okay, who knows?
You'll be all right there, Joe?
Who knows what the rocket in Salvage One ran on?
Was it Karen?
Coco.
Come on. He's got to get it.
Urine?
That's from the Benny Hill. He did a spoof of that. He did a skit where he had like his own rocket, and it was basically a goof of Salvage One. Yeah,
too
absolutely.
Funny.
And like the guy, the report asked him, "So what is your rocket ship run on?" And he's like, "Hot cocoa."
Really hot cocoa. Come on, it was monohydrazine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because everybody knows monohydrazine.
Come on,
right?
You don't remember the show? Wait. I remember every word.
I do remember hydrazine.
I'm looking at images of it right now. I don't remember ever seeing this.
Are you serious?
Joel Higgins.
I don't think I did.
Andrew Griffith and Joel Higgins. Joel Higgins, yeah, he was the dude from Silver Spoons.
What year is this from?
This had to be early 80s, like 81, 82.
It was 1979.
I was
going to
say, I don't think it was the 80s.
Oh, 1979. Yeah. No, it wasn't the 80s for sure.
The first episode was January 20th, 1979. Final episode was January 21st. No, it was December 9th, 1979.
One season, huh?
Two seasons, actually.
Then you had the Greatest American Hero.
Now I remember that.
You remember that one. Come on.
Have you tried to watch, like, the episodes, I don't know if they still are, but they were on Netflix for a little while. Did you try and watch them then?
Greatest American Hero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Vaguely, maybe.
Cause we went to watch it and it was like, so they didn't do a nice transfer to begin with. And so it was one of those transfers where it was just a box.
So,
like a TV screen box. And there was just black all around on the edges because they didn't like try to. Because
it was 320 lines.
Modern screen size. Yeah, it was terrible. Like,
on your 50 inch TV, it'd be about the size of a postage stamp.
Well, it wasn't that bad. Right? I mean, it was something.
So have you guys ever seen the Hyperdrive TV series?
No.
When was that? 1960 what?
No, that would be 2006. And it ran for two seasons on BBC. It was basically a Star Trek spoof.
No.
It's funny. It stars Nick Frost.
You see, and a lot of people actually thought that the Orville was going to turn into like a Galaxy Quest-like thing, and it's totally not that. It's
next generation.
It's freaking awesome. If you haven't seen,
but it's Star Trek.
It is. If you haven't seen the two-parter this season, you must. It is so good.
There's a lot of Star Trek people from Next Generation involved with it.
Oh yeah,
one producer dude, Tuvok, was on the
yes,
last
he
episode.
Was. He was, and it was a fantastic episode too.
It was. It was good.
It really makes you think about what you keep on your phone. But to go back,
I'm watching some salvage one on YouTube here. Oh my gosh. They had like a GM ignition key for the starter. Mm-hmm. And they have a T-handle gear shift lever for thrust.
Mm-hmm. Now, back to something that was sci-fi related and on Saturday morning and had Bob Denver on it. Do you remember the name of the show?
Far Out Space Nuts.
Yep.
Was that one of the
Hanna-Barbera?
Was that one of the Sidney and Croft?
Was it
Sid and Marty Croft?
No, wasn't it Sidney and Croft?
Sid and Marty Croft.
Oh, my favorite Martian.
Sid and Marty Croft.
Mr. Hand.
That was Mr. Hand?
Oh, yes. Yes, Ray Walston, the Martian, was Mr. Hand.
Oh, I never figured that
out. You never figured that out?
Nope.
Man. Yes, Fallout Space Nuts was the only Sid and Marty Croft thing that I liked. Maybe Land of the Lost, but I didn't like
no,
that.
No, no, no. Sigmund
the
and the Sea Monsters.
Hey, I was going to say, what do you got against Sigmund and the Sea Monsters?
I don't remember that one. That's a thing. Well, then there was the Great Space Coaster. That was on, PBS, I think?
I never watched that.
Gary Gnu.
I don't think that was PBS, was it?
I thought it was.
Yeah, it was.
It was?
Yeah, actually, my favorite show around that time, around the time of the Great Space Coaster, was
Hatchie Malachi.
No, 3-2-1 Contact. I remember 3-2-1 Contact. It was
Magic Garden. Yeah, Full Patch.
No, 3-2-1 Contact was a science based show that was on PBS at the time for kids.
Yeah. And every day, I think it was every day, but was it every day but Friday, or was it only on Friday they had the Bloodhound Gang?
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm fucking old now.
Not to be confused with the Brock Band, the Bloodhound Gang.
Right.
Their famous song was, you and me are nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the, what is it, channel?
Discovery Channel.
I was going to say History Channel, but
it was Bad Touch, I think, is the name.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals.
It was on the Hooray for Boobies album.
How come I never bought that?
Oh, I haven't.
Goat sounds like Goat and Your Mom.
No, it's nothing like Goat and Your Mom. Nothing is like Goat and Your Mom.
That's true. Goat and Your Mom is funny. Now he's not out here, I can tell you that I'm getting Luke for his birthday. Getting him a 3DS XL.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about getting him some Goat and Your Mom.
I thought you were going to take it to the Hooters.
Hell no. I don't even know if we have a Hooters anymore.
What?
I think we have a Twin Peaks, though. And if it's not, if we don't have one of those, I know we have a Tilted Kilt. Of course, the really old PBS show that I remember was The Electric Company.
Okay, yes. So, Bloodhound Gang, if an episode of 3-2-1 Contact ran too long, usually on Friday episodes, an announcement would tell viewers that the Bloodhound Gang would not be presented in said episode, and it would... Yeah, so they ran after 3-2-1 Contact most days of the week except on, I believe, Friday was most Fridays they didn't run. Anyway, that answers it, Joel, right there.
There you go.
I wonder if those are all on YouTube.
Now, Dan might remember it. Maybe Pat might remember it. But it was an anime version of the Thunderbirds that ran on the Prism TV network in that area of Pennsylvania. And it was definitely anime style. And nowhere close to the original British version. Other than that, it uses some of the same kind of concepts and stuff.
Prism.
Thunderbirds 2086.
That?
It was only ever on Prism.
Are you sure it was Prism?
Mm-hmm.
Prism was like HBO.
Yep, it was that. It was on cable.
I kind of remember seeing this, or at least being aware of it.
It was known in, it was definitely an anime before it came here, but it came over, in Japan it was known as Scientific Team.
Scientific Rescue Team Techno Voyager?
Yep.
Voyager?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I wonder if you can get all the episodes online.
See, it was take that back, it was on the BBC and Showtime.
You can get them all, and it looks like they're all available on YouTube. I mean, I see, like, episode
1 there's a bunch of them, yeah. 4.
And 12, so I'm guessing if you look for it, you'll find them all there.
I mean, they're not, I mean, I'll say this, they're not, like, the best thing you ever saw. But they are entertaining.
Now, I don't know how to feel about this, speaking of old shows, but when I was in elementary school, one of my favorite shows was Ultraman.
Yep.
And Ultraman 11 was the Ultraman that we watched back then. Of course, there was Ultraman Tiga and a whole bunch of other ones. But apparently, starting in April, Netflix has an Ultraman series coming out.
I saw.
And I watched a trailer for it, and I'm kind of on the fence about it. About the style, it's an animation.
Is it?
It's a weird kind of animation, though.
Even though Ultraman never was.
Yeah, this is not. So, if you look, did you see the trailer for it?
No, I haven't yet.
It's a really bizarre kind of animation. I'll post it in the IRC. It looks like, you know, fairly typical, decent Asian animation mixed with late 90s, early 2000s computer-generated imagery. And like I said, I don't know how I feel about that. The CGI looks kind of bad in it, I think. It's really weird. But we shall see.
Back give it a in the shot. Early days when they just started bringing the Japanese stuff over here.
What was the, Star Blazers. There we go. That was one of the first ones that came over, wasn't it?
Yep, yeah. in the late 70s.
What were the birds?
The Battle of the Planets, which was Gatchaman.
Yeah, Gatchaman. Battle of the Planets.
And then you had Battleship Yamato.
Yeah. And
which is still Marine a favorite Boy. Of mine.
Although I don't know, can you find Marine Boy anymore?
Marine Boy, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Speed Racer, I remember.
Yeah, Marine Boy was around Speed Racer time. He chewed aqua gum so he could breathe underwater.
See, I actually, yeah, there's so many people that criticize the Speed Racer movie. I liked it, and I wish they would make a sequel, but that's not going to happen. It didn't make enough money.
That was... Wait. I don't know if I saw the movie.
You never seen the Speed Racer movie?
I recall that they made one.
Emil Hirsch was Speed Racer. Trixie was, what's her face from, what was her name? Christina. Damn it. Why can't I remember her name? She was one of the, she played Wednesday in the Addams Family movie.
Christina Ricci.
That's it, Christina Ricci, yeah. And John Goodman played Pops.
Yeah, 2008. I don't think I saw it.
Yep. Oh, you should. It's worth a view. I like the fact that they not only did they have the Mach 5, but they had the Mach 6, which is basically in the movie they didn't race the Mach 5 in the races. It was pretty much, well, except for the road rally, they ran it in. There was another car they used in the closed circuit races, the professional races, called the Mach 6, and it was what they called the T-180, and it was a Wachowski brothers, or I guess they're sisters now, but good for them. Yeah. But they developed the car. The cars were all called T-180s, and the wheels could steer kind of in any direction. So basically they can like spin around, but still the wheels would still be on the ground. Really unique way of racing. It was actually really entertaining. I really liked it. But because of people like you, Dan, never seeing it to begin with, it didn't make any money.
Hey, Dan. Well, it's your fault.
I don't know. Next time.
That's right.
Less than a month. Another 5 years when they decide to make it again.
Less than a month till the end game. I can't wait, man. It looks like it's gonna be incredible. I think it may eclipse Captain Marvel for money this year.
And Spider-Man Homecoming, or not Homecoming, Far From Home.
Do you know, I got a custom Joel face on my watch.
How'd you do that? Oh, it's a smartwatch, right?
Yes.
Yes.
How many hours are you getting out of that thing?
You can get like 2 days out of it.
Oh, that's amazing. Mine I can probably get about one.
Well, that's because you have an Apple Watch.
Nope, I have a Michael Kors. Excuse me, I have a Michael Kors watchOS.
Who's Michael Kors?
Some fashion designer.
See, that's the problem. You went for the fashion over funk.
That's one thing I actually 3D printed this week. I printed a little stand to pop the charger into.
So there's a couple of things. I do like getting the notification on the wrist because then, you know, if it's like ding, somebody liked something, fine. You know, I don't have to look at my phone to see, you know, somebody liked something I posted. But you can see like, oh, hey, you know, this is something I need to take action on. I got a text from somebody or, hey, that package got dropped off.
The gear, Samsung's watch is actually running Tizen, right?
Yes. I'll tell you what I definitely like about it is the bezel rotates and the ability to use that as your selector is so cool.
That's what they should do on the Wear OS. They do that with the dial, but for some reason, my dial doesn't work, but that's okay. I don't need it. Because you can also just do it with the touchscreen. So, and the one thing I like about at least Wear OS, Wear OS will take my heart rate. Every 15 minutes it does a heart rate and records it. Kind of nice. Doesn't do some of the stuff that the Apple Watch does, and I really don't care. But
yeah, I'm kind of late to the party, and I'm just ganging up because I'm like, hey, my wife and daughter got watches, I'll get one. That kind of
thing. What your wife and daughter got for watches?
Of course,
right?
Yeah.
And they probably cost more too.
Well, alright, so here's the thing. The third gen iWatch was like $300, but it was $200. It was like $199, but that's on a onesie basis. So the second one, I just clicked order and got my wife one because she won. That was $75. Now, they're basically, they have coupons, and pretty much you can buy the Frontier S3 or whatever, S3 Frontier, for like list price of $230-something. There's an automatic coupon, you're getting it for $199. So, definitely liking it. I did get a different band with it, and the band wasn't expensive. There's like a little tab, so you don't even have to have any tools to take the band off the watch, which I was pretty happy about. The watch band, I got a black stainless watch band, and I had to take a couple links out of it, so I took two off one side, one off the other. They gave you the tool to do it, so it was super easy. And, you know, I've been washing my car, whatever. I haven't had it underwater, but it's definitely, you know, it's not going to go bad if you splash it. It's apparently good to be submerged, but I don't know down to what depth. Technically, anything decent, like a G-Shock watch, will tell you it's waterproof up to 200 meters, meaning, you know, like 300 meters, it's going to crush or leak or something. So anything that's quote-unquote waterproof will show you a depth on it. So in case you're ever looking at something that says it's waterproof, it's like, to what depth? And if it's depth rated, then it really is something good. If it's not, it's just crapola.
Mm-hmm. Does it work though?
I'm using the Samsung health app.
Oh, okay.
So
never mind.
The
S-Health.
The only thing I'm disappointed in is, I would love to have Waze or Waze notifications on it, because sometimes you're doing something else on your phone, and if it pops up and shows you something, that I would really appreciate it. There is some sort of patch app, but it seemed like it was draining power on my phone, so I just pulled that off. But there was like some sort of crutch app that allowed you to use Google Maps, and it would give you the direction information on your phone. I'm from your phone on your watch.
And this for the directions. I'm trying to remember if I ever used the watch for directions. I think I have. But what I usually used to do when I worked downtown, though, is I would just, like, if I was walking somewhere and I needed actual directions, I'd basically set it up to go for walking directions, figure out which direction to start off with, throw my headphones on, just stick a phone in my pocket, and then it would just tell me as I'm walking. You know, that I preferred much more than actually pulling the phone out to look at the freaking screen.
I hate to say, now with the ability to pause audio, or, you know, you've got the pause play control on your watch, like, I've been doing the wired headset, and I'm thinking maybe I want to find, you know, get some sort of wireless headset, you know, Bluetooth headset now. Yep.
Get some Bluetooth ones, yeah. Yep. Well, some interesting news from the, smart home realm. Lowe's has open sourced their Iris system. Basically, it's the news. The open source release was called Arcus.
And so, how does that work? You run your own local home server? Now, or what?
If I've actually bought some of the, I don't know. I never had an Iris device. So I assume that's probably what it would do.
I am Googling now.
It's in a Discord.
Arcus. Oh, A-R-C-U-S. Okay, so it's on GitHub.
Correct. Open sourcing portions of his smart home software and naming it Arcus. Arcus is the Roman name for the Greek goddess Iris. Okay, so it's public source code in GitHub. Source code for core platform projects as well as user-facing clients.
Okay,
such
it says run
iOS,
on the cloud
Android,
or locally,
in the web.
So, okay. See, here's for all of you people that are serious conservatives, you better sit down. I'm going to agree with Elizabeth Warren on something. She was talking about the right to repair on tractors because John Deere is like being dicks about right to repair issues. I am really surprised for a company that has
been
based
for years
in Iowa.
Now.
That's a lot of kahunas.
And I agree with Ron Emanuel.
Oh, that's a twofer for me also. Yeah, I am really of the opinion that if you own the product, you should have root access to it, because that's what I got a problem with my, I hate to say NVR because it's a DVR, but the camera recorder, the digital, or they call it network video recorder, I don't have root access to it. And there's things I want to do that if I had root access, I could. But I'm going to have to take this, basically toss it, or, you know, sell it on eBay or something, and buy another one so I can get the functionality out of it that I want. And the TCP connected, or the GreenWave Reality TCP connected bulbs that I had, you know, you were able to connect locally to the device server, and then they stopped that. It was cloud only, and then they stopped the cloud. It's like, just let me revert back to, you know, the older software where I could do everything on my own locally, where I had, you know, REST access. You know what? If they gave you some form of REST or SOAP or something to access the device, that would be a big deal. Yep, anything, something.
Or JSON or whatever.
In fact, I gotta commend VMware because everything has an API to it. There isn't any one of their newer products that doesn't have an API. And I'll give up the root if you give me an API to everything. Realistically, that's how they should be writing these things, is with an API.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the way we write our products now for our company.
Well, cool.
I forgot how.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how soon will Arcus get incorporated into like Home Automation Assistant or OpenHAB or any of these other products. That would be very cool.
That's really where it needs to go. Yeah. It would just make sense, right?
Anyhow, Dan, when are you playing out? Oh man, it's like 15 minutes after that time.
Yes.
Is it that time already?
It's after 10.
Anything else for the good of the cause before I play us out?
Only buy cheap smartwatches?
Nope.
There's that.
Don't buy cutting edge and pay the cutting edge freight tariff?
Happy birthday to Alan coming up.
Ooh, happy birthday to Alan coming up. Yeah. And happy for birthday, those of us that missed Pi Day, nothing
happy
to report.
Happy birthday, Luke.
Just Pi Day.
On Pi Day?
Yeah, that was it. Pi didn't do anything for Pi Day, but...
Oh, Micro Center had a sale again. Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
Oh, hell, that was 2 weeks
Here we
ago.
Go.
Almost.
Your promos. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in 7 days. Am I happy?
Oh my god.
It's Hacker Public really Radio. 6 days and 21 hours.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
The Jack Attack Podcast. Where chic,
oh dear,
meets geek.
Ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros.
Powered by Linux.
Linux.
You buy fun. Recorded in Windsor, Nova Scotia. With your hosts, John Watson. And Kelly Penguin Girl.
A girl?
A girl.
A girl?
It's the Jack Attack. That's the J-A-K attack.com. Time well wasted.
Hi folks, this is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Haunty Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. But join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
The magic. The mythy magic. What?
You know what I found at the store recently? Some good ramen in the frozen food section.
Wait a minute, didn't Wolf Pit do something with Ling Ling?
Ling Ling ramen.
Wait. No.
Yeah, he just did, and he didn't like it. But I liked it. Now, granted, I didn't have the miso one. I had the shoyu with soy sauce one, and then tonkatsu. Both had nice chicken in it. I liked the taste of it.
Never even noticed that.
My noodles weren't as mushy as
this were. Stop recording, say goodnight, Joel.
Goodnight.
Miss Dan? Did you start recording, Dan?
Oh, give me a second. What? I'm sorry.
Chicken and waffles.
Chicken and waffles?
Does Grubhub deliver chicken and waffles?
I don't know.
No, but you can get two Grubhubs and put them together.
See, in California.
I think he's in Ohio. He left me a 7-minute Voxer. I didn't listen to it.
7 minutes?
Minutes.
Seven.
Jesus. I think it was like 7 minutes and 56 seconds.
Wait, did he think he actually connected with you and was talking the whole time and like didn't realize you weren't there, that it was a recording?
Let me see. 7 minutes, 18 seconds.
Was it related to 3D printing?
I would have had to have listened to it to have known.
Over 7 minutes of CPAP.
Dude, all I gotta say is, you know what? If I start hitting 2-3 minutes, I stop talking. Say, all right, I'm gonna stop here.
Rich, you need to rename your Friday Drive Home video stream to just your Ride Home video stream.
Yeah, yeah, tomorrow's gonna be my Friday live drive vlog.
Are you gonna listen to his Voxer then?
No. The ride is only 2 hours. I won't get that bored in 2 hours.
That's terrible.
Bring this because Dora will enjoy it.
Okay, so, Rich, you said, wait.
Pizza. I say pizza, modifier garbage pail, and 8:35.
I say burger and fries. $8.37.
Man, the last couple of times, if I'm not mistaken, hasn't he gotten Uber Eats from? Is it Grubhub or Uber Eats?
I think both.
Hasn't he gotten Uber Eats or Grubhub from McDonald's?
No.
Wait, were you here last? Oh, you missed that one last week.
Was I? Yeah, I was there at the beginning, wasn't I? Or no?
I don't know if you were. I'll tell you what. I don't think if I was going to go out and order Uber Eats or Grubhub from them, I don't think I would get McDonald's. That seems like a waste.
I'd get at least Arby's.
At least.
And make sure they bring the horsey sauce.
The Carl's Jr., right? Or what do they have? No, it's Hardee's around here.
I'll order hot dogs and make them deliver them to me in the bathroom. This way there's no waiting.
Like, I just want, like, some hot dogs and a funnel. Just push them in for me.
Just let them go right out.
Is that the tube from the front door into your mouth? Push the hot dogs through, and if it gets stuck, he could just like wrap his lips around it, and the delivery guy can just blow it through.
that image may be stuck in my mind.
What's up?
Now you got a big bottle of tequila here.
Go away.
We're not done yet.
For added fun, when it comes out the other end, you know, you got the turd twister.
The turd twister.
And the squatty potty.
Joel, in that 7-minute message you left me, was there something in there worthwhile listening to?
Nothing I probably won't repeat tonight.
Okay. Because unfortunately tonight's the night. Tomorrow I'm driving back after work, and so I've been under house arrest for my house arrest ended 9 a.m. Monday morning.
Hello.
Hey Joe. So I've been packing up and whatever, doing laundry and vacuuming, and so I haven't had a lot of time.
I thought I was late. I guess not.
35. We only got two guesses in. Nobody else. All right. Do we want to keep taking votes on what Joel had for dinner? Don't tell us yet. Joe, it's your turn.
I'm telling you, McDonald's.
Oh, dude!
I was going to say Taco Bell.
Would you have a McDonald's?
Was it delivered by Uber Eats?
Yes, it was. I just had a McDouble and a medium fry.
Fries? Are they on the diet? They're like the air fried fries, not the deep fat fried, right?
Hey, whatever McDonald's makes.
Deep fat fried.
Yeah, tasty.
I do like the McDonald's fries. Although I did like Hiram's Hot Dogs in the Hamptons used to have waffle cut fries, and they're one of the first ones that had them, and I really like that.
Waffle fries are okay, but I'm not much of a fan of them.
All right.
I've been running since I got off work.
What I'd be doing if I had McDonald's?
You'd be running
the
back. Today
was the day I wanted to get my birthday boy his present.
Is that a birthday girl?
An eviction notice?
Someday. Considering he's 20, or will be. Never could get any of anything else running on this Pinebook today.
No. For the show, and then we talk dirty about the Pinebook.
Yeah, hold on one second.
Dan, did I leave you the instructions for how to start the show?
No, I was looking for something.
The screws that you lost?
No, not that.
Oh, marbles.
I was looking for my dignity, Joel. Oh, Peggy's
here.
Dude,
you've been doing tilts for how many years now?
Nah, that's not what I was looking for. All right. Peggy.
Peggy's blowing too soon. Premature.
As always.
I was just giving it a short one. I know what it wants.
Would that be considered premature floutification?
All right, Peggy. Now, get them lips and start blowing. Come on! Make it happen! Faster, Peggy, faster. Lick them lips. Low.
Shake them hips.
Somebody tap him on the head.